rest of the story. Did you hear the one about the traveling salesman? Now, there's a real-life traveling salesman named John Gates with a product that nobody wanted. He had been told to go west, young man, and yet folks out west a century ago were particularly disinterested in what John was selling. So here we have John Gates, an Illinois boy, stranded in San Antonio, Texas, a traveling failure. He's near broke and brooding over coffee in a restaurant just off the town square. The square was called Military Plaza. John could see it clearly from the restaurant window. There was a medicine show going on out there, a Dr. J.L. Lightoll, who professed to cure everything from toothaches to typhoid. A snake oil peddler, you know the kind. But my, how he peddled his snake oil. First of all, he had arrived in the plaza announced by a trumpeted fanfare, riding in a gilded chariot, and then mounting a portable wooden stage, the flamboyant faker in the pink frock coat and white beaver hat presented his warm-up act, singing and dancing entertainers, and finally, when the crowd in the plaza was rollicking and ready, Dr. Lightoll began his high-powered sales pitch. By then, of course, his audience would have bought anything from him, which they then proved by doing so. It was a wondrous sight, and salesman John Gates observed carefully from the restaurant window. Nobody'd wanted what John had to sell, but he was sitting there learning a valuable lesson from the medicine show pitchman. A good salesman doesn't wait for a demand. He goes out and creates one. Well, the next day, John began preparations for his own demonstration in San Antonio's Military Plaza. Not only did he intend to prove his product worked, but he'd take some big money bets to that effect. The mayor of San Antonio sought for permission to make the demonstration, was slow to grant it. After all, if John's product did not work, it could mean disaster. He could wreck the whole town. John did his best to reassure the establishment. The date of the grand event was set. John drew quite a crowd that day. Most of the spectators thought he was crazy and said so with $5,000 of their money. They knew what John was trying was dangerous. But that was part of the fascination for the rugged ranchers and the tough cowhands. Young John Gates wasn't worried a bit. But then, of course, he knew the rest of the story. He had advertised that the cattle he was transporting to the plaza were 40 of the wildest longhorn steers that ever grazed the Texas plains. Well, they were not exactly that. They were the mildest, tamest bunch of bovines that John Gates could find. But anyway, they sold John's product, the product nobody wanted. Thereafter, it would become the hottest commodity in the West. History books tell us about the range wars that started because of it, that some ranchers did use it spitefully to prevent their neighbors' cattle from reaching water, and yet in the beginning, Texas ranchers had one main objection. They just didn't believe it would work. They didn't believe it could hold cattle. Until John Gates, inspired to super salesmanship by a medicine show pitchman, corralled 40 longhorn steers in San Antonio's military square for the only thing standing between the spectators and a possible stampede. 8 strands of the new product that one day would make John a very wealthy man. 8 strands of barbed wire. And now you know the rest of the story.